Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the September 30, 2018 session, focusing on Psalm 124, with God on our side. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Bert Montgomery.
So I need to know if you guys are on the right side.
Always.
I'm talking football here, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Roll Tide.
Hey, careful.
Oh. No, there was actually, speaking of Roll Tide, there was a picture that somebody took in Tuscaloosa, which I adopted immediately and said, if we had our church does not have a street sign. If we did, this would be on it. It said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then beat Ole Miss."
Oh, gosh.
And that was in Tuscaloosa for Alabama. So,
oh, wow.
We would certainly put that on our sign here at Starkville, Mississippi.
I would have expected them to put Auburn maybe or something.
But. Well, that's probably who they were playing. They probably changed the sign relevant to the week.
Okay. Fine.
But an Alabama fan would say, well, that goes without saying.
I did discover, I have discovered my grad assistant is an Auburn fan. Well, I mean, I knew that because she came from Auburn. So we're going to split my door and decorate it the week that they play each other.
Wow, you're gracious.
Well, you know, we've got room for everyone at the table. Even the losers.
Well, we certainly are comfortable talking about sides in football and in a lot of other things. The title of this session we've named With God on Our Side. Bert, could you help us maybe see if that's a good fit for this text or not?
Well, I'll try. One of the great African-American hymns of the last half century was composed in 1980 by the gospel music performer, composer, and director Margaret Duro, Dr. Margaret Duro. And it's a spiritual based on our text this week, Psalm 124. And it's actually old enough now that it's made it into a variety of hymnals. Listeners, look in your hymnal this week and see if it's in yours. It is called, appropriately enough, If It Had Not Been for the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me where I would be. Where would I be? He kept my enemies away. He brought the sunshine to a cloudy day. He rocked me in the cradle of his arm when he knew I had been battered and scorned. He never left me all alone. He gave me peace and joy I'd never known. He answered when I knelt to really pray, and in victory the Lord showed me his way. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Now, a big goofy white guy like me reading these lyrics isn't really worth all that much. So I've added a link to a video of Linda Randall with the legendary Andre Crouch performing it live so you can feel its power. So you can pause this podcast and go listen to the song and then come back, or just wait till after the podcast. But turn up your speakers and give it a listen, and you tell me the spirit doesn't move you. I suspect when you stop and think about it, you have your own testimony about where you might be today or where you might not be today if it had not been for the Lord on your side. Psalm 124 reminds us that God is on our side. With God on our side. You know, I got to be honest. Those five words typically make me cringe. Human history is filled with gruesome story after gruesome story of things that we have done to each other, bragging and boasting that God is on our side. Thus, Hebrew scriptures themselves are filled with horrifying stories of what God's people have done to others in the name of power and might and wealth and dominance, claiming it's all good because God's on my side. Even our brief American history, wars have been waged. Tribes have been slaughtered. Women and children have been beaten, traded, and raped. Slaves bought and sold. Families separated at borders. While smug politicians and preachers justify it all, believing those five words, well, God is on our side. I've been listening to a lot of African-American spirituals and black gospel songs lately, even before Aretha Franklin passed away, but especially since then. And so much of it comes from a place of humility and dependence and heartfelt gratitude, which reminds me that this psalm doesn't have to be read as one of arrogance and power and domination. And that's interesting, isn't it? Me, a middle-class white male American, how that influences how I hear and read Scripture. But a historically oppressed people on the outside, finding their hope in, crediting their survival to the Lord. When I hear addicts in recovery talk about, if it wasn't for God, where would they be? When I hear my lesbian and gay and transgender folk talk about discovering God's genuine love for them, lifting them out of the pits of despair and out of the hands of death itself, it does cause me to stop and reflect on where my life could have gone and the twists and the turns and up and downs I've experienced, and the good choices I've made and the bad choices I've made. And, you know, really, if it had not been for the Lord, I would not be here right now, that's for sure. And I suspect if you stop and reflect on your situations in life, I mean, what a testimony. Remember what the Apostle Paul says, if God is for you, and remember, God is for you, then who can be against you? So don't give in to the temptation to come at this psalm from a place of power and a place of pride and privilege and arrogance. But come at the psalm humbly and gratefully. Recognize your full dependence on the Lord. And consider, if it had not been for the Lord, where would you be? How can you paraphrase Psalm 124 to be your psalm?
As a pastor, I'll often go visit folks in the hospital or in their home after losing a loved one or in some difficult situation. And it's not altogether uncommon to hear some version of the following testimony. If it weren't for God, I don't know how I could get through this. Or maybe it's corollary. How do folks without faith in a good and loving God, or how do folks without a church community, make it through this life? Word of confession here, when I saw that this psalm was coming up, so often you're right that we come at this with some sort of arrogance. God is on our side. But the humility, because we know that God is on the side of all of God's children, where would we be? Where would we be? And I guess that's where my mind went. I thought of the testimonies that I hear folks graciously offer on their most difficult days, that God is still with me, and that because God is for me, I'll make it. And it's an incredible testimony.
Which means when we meet someone else, we can say to ourselves, God is for that person. So instead of using the psalm as a way to divide us, which sometimes we fall into that trap, it really can be a way to unite us, to say, you know, we're in this together. Because the psalm also doesn't mean, oh, God's on your side, so nothing bad's going to happen.
Right.
It doesn't mean that.
There's a lot of bad things that happen to the person in the psalm.
Listen, I am so much on my kid's side. They're grown up, they're married, but doggone it, I am on their side. And I will do whatever I can to show that I'm on their side. But bad things are going to happen to them. I can't protect them from all that, but I can sure be there whenever it does. And I think that obviously God is much bigger than us as parents, but if we are willing to do that for our kids, how much more is God willing to be that for us?
You know, we really started out talking about the psalm, I think, in a really wonderfully rich and positive and deep way. But if I'm honest, I've heard many times, and I've probably done it myself too, there are flippant ways, or much more shallow ways, that we can talk about God being on our side, can't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure y'all have heard that. Oh, thank the Lord, it was raining and that parking spot opened up, right? Closest to the AMP, you know. God's good. You know, haven't we heard that kind of thing?
My phone screen didn't break when I dropped it on the concrete.
My team won.
Right. My team won.
And again, it's sometimes funny and also, well, it's funny to talk about when others do that. If I'm honest, I've done things like that too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was grateful today when the storm waited till just when I got inside the door before the bottom dropped out. Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord.
That's right. Lord,
right?
You know, and I don't think it's wrong for us to appreciate small acts of grace or to credit God with the good things that happen in life. But I guess what I hear us saying is there is a deeper way to understand God's presence with us.
We can be thankful. We can be thankful for the joy that we have when our team wins and when we find the key to the car that we thought we had lost, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I wrestle with this, and I know I kind of anticipate where we might be going, because I wrestle with the idea, because the implication is that God isn't with me when I can't find my key, or God isn't with the other people when they lose the football game. That God took sides and is causing good things to happen to me, but if it doesn't happen, that's because God's not with them. And that's the danger of this, and that's the danger we have to watch out for. And I think we can be thankful, even in the little small things, when we know God isn't actually causing, you know, causing Auburn to beat Alabama, which I think God does cause. But, but right? But... Sorry,
touché.
Nikki.
Touché.
But because it's we can be thankful in our joy when we lose to, you know, when my Bulldogs happen to lose to Ole Miss occasionally.
You choked that out.
Yeah, we can learn from it, and God can be with us through that pain and sorrow, right? While they're gloating about it. So, but we do have to be careful, because I may have had a narrow escape from a tragic accident, but there's somebody else who didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where this is really challenging.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of times when we think about God on our side, we think that means that God is not on the side of others, or like whoever is on the other side. But I don't think Scripture tells us that. At least I'm not sure that's what this text is telling us, that God on my side means that God's not on your side. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, okay, since we're going with the football theme, think about the football mom whose kids are playing one another because they happen to go to different schools, or they happen to be, I know it's happened in pro sports, right? And so mom and dad have to sit there and cheer for both kids. But what I know is mom and dad will sit there and cheer for both kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the kid that wins, they're going to celebrate with that kid. And the kid that loses, they're going to do whatever helps that kid when they lose.
Yeah.
That imagery is helpful, Nikki, because... Mm-hmm. Bert, you provided a really big challenge to me, because I, you know, on the one hand, I could argue that it is good and right to thank God for certain things, and I probably have done that too, you know, when a terribly sick daughter's fever finally breaks,
mm-hmm.
thank
yes.
you, Lord,
yes,
and that's not wrong, but there are parents who pray that prayer and the child's fever doesn't break.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because we think in such, you know, rigid either or terms, you know, we say, well, if God answered my prayer, what about the family whose fever didn't break? Is God must be against them? Well, maybe God's on all of our sides, and God is glad to hear our thanks, but frankly, God is sitting by the bedside of the mother who's worried sick about her child. And is not going to leave her alone either. Mm-hmm. And so I love your metaphor, the parenting metaphor there, Nikki. That's really helpful for me to try to think through what is a challenging thought here.
Well, I think it's like a lot of times we ascribe to God things that God never intended to have ascribed.
You know, I've heard something similar, Nikki. Mm. One of my Old Testament professors used to say, that's taking God's name in vain.
Mm.
Is, you know, when we say, we won that game because we prayed harder. Or, yeah. You know, when we ascribe, or we claim to know the mind of God and where God was thinking and what God was doing, mm-hmm. and whom God helped to win, etc.
Right, right.
And when we put God in the place of being one side over another, when honestly we don't really know, because I think God said my ways are higher than your ways.
Right, right.
So yeah, I remember one of my Old Testament professors saying, he kept wondering, you know, maybe that's taking God's name in vain.
Mm.
And I think he might be right.
Yeah.
So this is a psalm of thanksgiving. The writer is expressing gratitude to God, which, you know, is a wonderful spiritual practice to express gratitude. And, you know, and while we have tried to recognize, I think, in our conversation today, the nuances of this, that me expressing gratitude for something good does not mean that correlates to saying that someone else who didn't have something good happen, that somehow they did something wrong or God was not for them, mm-hmm. right? But that does not mean that we cannot offer gratitude and thanksgiving for those good things that do happen in our lives. You know, and so I think the purity of gratitude and of thanksgiving, and that as a practice, is a good thing. I don't know. How do y'all see that?
You know, for me, the power of the thanksgiving here is a recognition that when things were, even at their worst, about to be swallowed up, enemies attacking us, raging waters, flood sweeping us away, God is there. Mm-hmm. That there's a sense in which we are never left alone, even when things are at their darkest. And again, I can't help but read certain things that, through my experience as a local church pastor. And it never fails to amaze me how on the day of a funeral, when a family gathers together, their eyes are red with tears, their bodies stooped over, bearing the weight of their sorrow, almost literally. The prayers that are offered, the words that are spoken, the hymns that are sung are, thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. Mm-hmm. And it's, on the one hand, you could say, how Pollyannish, or how naive, you just lost your soulmate, the love of your life, and here you are thanking God. I think that's the power of it, of gratitude, is that it's not naive. It's not some Pollyannish, pie in the sky kind of thank you, God, but when everyone else abandons me, when I am at my lowest, God, you are there. You are for me. You are on my side. And for that, I can't help but offer heartfelt praise. And even if I don't know the deceased, it will move me to tears every single time. That deep, rich gratitude
mm-hmm.
is beautiful.
Okay, I'm going to stretch here a little bit. So I fully admit that I'm processing out loud this text. I'm making some connections. I don't know if they'll hold up when I get to the end. But y'all are not new to this with me. So Daniel, as you were talking, it stuck out to me that when you were talking about caring for those who are bereaved, that the prayers that are offered, the words that are said, all the things that you said were about what the community does to help uphold this person. Okay, and I think you were talking about your own experience as a pastor. But as you did that, I was looking back at the text, because when David talked about it being a text of gratitude, I thought, well, let's go, because the scholars will often break down the Psalms into different kinds of texts. So you've got individual and community texts. So you can break them up that way. You can say this is an individual text or community text, and you can tell that simply by the pronouns that are used. I is individual, and we, us, that kind of language is a community text. And then you have texts of lament, you have texts of praise, you have texts of gratitude, and they kind of get broken down into these kind of categories. And so I went back and looked at this text. It's a community hymn of thanksgiving. And I think that, at least the connection that's being made for me here, is this community aspect. The whole text is we, us, God was for us. God was with us. God carried us. God protected us. And we have escaped. We have escaped. That means the community had a part in this. And I think that whether it's intended or not, I think there is truth in that. I think that often our experiences of God being on our side will involve someone else who has shown up to be Christ for us. I don't know. I fully admit I might be stretching here, and I'm probably stepping outside of the bounds of what the psalmist is doing, but there's something there in that for me. I think
we're at 31 minutes. We clearly have some buffer, but
a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki, I think you're exactly right. And the more I reflect on that in light of what you said, I wonder if there is gratitude in the fact that this is a communal psalm versus an individual, that not that we delight in others' pain, but that when things are at their worst, our community stands beside us. Mm-hmm. You know, that we go through these things together. I tell my congregation all the time, I take very seriously the family of God, body of Christ metaphor. We are brothers and sisters for one another. Mm-hmm. And not simply because we worship in the same room, but because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And part of the thanksgiving is that at these dark days, it's, thank you, Lord, it's we and not I. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's part of it for me. And so I think you're dead on.
Thank God it is we and not I.
Yes.
Indeed.
Nikki, I echo the sense that you have the power of the we in this text. I actually spent today at our other campus in Louisville, on the campus of Simmons College. And they have a room downstairs on the lower level of the building where we have our classes. And the room is filled with photographs. It's a historic building. The building was built by freed slaves. And so when you go in the building, you realize that this freedom that the students have there to learn and to grow was something that was a gift from a community and continues to be a gift from a community. And so for us, you know, a largely white seminary, to be in what Kevin Cosby calls black space, it is an act of grace for us to be invited there, to be present in that community. I know for me, and I think it would be something all the faculty and students would say as they are there, is that we feel that community when we are present. It's not just doing classes in these rooms. It is being part of a community that very much is a thankful community for what has grown and happened there. And when I was hearing you discuss this psalm in that community kind of fashion, I couldn't help but think about that, because it's going back to what Bert was saying at the beginning. We need to go listen to some gospel music and then read this psalm with that kind of perspective, not our privileged perspective, because I really think it makes all the difference. Thank you all for this conversation around this psalm and all the good insights you've brought.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.